This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Big Island of Hawaii. Right now, we're with Karen Berry at the Kona Hawaiian Quilt Museum and Gallery. And you have to search out this place. You kind of hidden in a corner.
Yes. Well, we are very new. We opened just a little over a year ago. And as with any nonprofit organization, you know, funding is limited in the beginning. We've received some grants, so we're getting there. But you find a place that you can to start. We already have plans for expansion, and we're already looking at our next location. But, yeah, we're kind of down a little hallway to start.
I've had a lifelong fascination with quilting. And yet, I knew nothing about it. Mm-hmm. I signed up for a quilting class in Tennessee.
Good for you.
And all the women turned and looked. This guy's got the wrong room. But I did it, and it was really illuminating as kind of an introduction.
I'm so glad you did. There are lots of fantastic men quilters. I was just at Quilt Market in Houston, and there were lots of them there, and they do beautiful, beautiful work. A sewing machine is just a power tool with thread,
right.
You know. So...
we're in Hawaii, and quilting has a connection with the early roots of the missionaries and the people from Boston and New England that came here, right?
That's absolutely true. The New England missionaries came over in the early 1820s and introduced the native Hawaiians to fabric. And that took off very well. They had used kapa cloth for clothing and bedding and everything, but they adopted the cotton fabric quite readily.
So there were two parallel quilting universes here. There were the indigenous local Hawaiians who took the craft and ran with it.
Yes.
And then there were the missionary wives and whatnot who continued their tradition.
That's correct. And the missionaries were anxious to share the craft of sewing with the native Hawaiians. They taught the children in the schools how to sew. They taught the women how to sew. They were anxious to share that with the Hawaiians. They felt it was part of the teaching them about the culture.
And today, you again have the parallel universes here in the islands.
That's absolutely true. The tradition of Hawaiian quilting is carried on by Native Hawaiians and others as well. Others of us are doing it as well. And then there's a lot of transplanted mainland quilters that are carrying on all other different kinds of quilting.
The Hawaiians are indigenous people that continue the tradition. Is there a distinctive difference in how they express what they do, or is hard to tell sometimes the difference?
Well, Hawaiian quilting is completely unique to the Hawaiian Islands.
And explain how it is unique.
Okay. It has several elements. The first is that it's done with two contrasting colors. Also, it is a one-piece symmetrical applique, a little bit like when you were a kid in school cutting a snowflake. Mm-hmm. You fold it up into fours or eights and cut a design and open that symmetrical design up onto a contrasting background and hand applique that to the background. Then the other distinctive feature is the echo quilting. Once the quilt is sandwiched, it's hand quilted with an echo design that follows the outline of the quilting and then goes a fingertip width out and follows it again, another fingertip out and follows it again.
So it keeps repeating that motif
across the
surface.
That's correct.
Interesting. Are you a quilter, I hope?
I am. I confess I've not done much Hawaiian quilting. Mm-hmm. I love my sewing machine. I'm a confirmed piecer, but I really do enjoy making quilts. Especially recently, we just recently became grandparents, and a grandchild is the very best reason in the world to make a quilt.
And back in the day, you're talking about a woman that moved to Hawaii 120 years ago.
Yes.
And she took up quilting.
Yes, she would have been exposed to that from the Native Hawaiians. She came to be a teacher on the sugarcane plantations, came from California, in fact.
Came like 1899?
She came over in 1895, yes.
Okay.
She was 21 years old.
Oh, gutsy woman, huh?
Yes, yes. She got married in the year 1900, so she stayed in the islands and began a quilt for her wedding, probably, and didn't get a chance to finish. So it was set aside and discovered 100 years later by her granddaughter in a trunk in the garage. So when we opened the museum, the granddaughter brought it to us, and we have it on display.
That's really cool. And that's a very distinctive one. Again, like you said, it's one piece.
Yes.
It tells about that process of what she did and how she did it.
It displays the work in progress. Hello, please come right on in. Enjoy. Wonderful. Welcome. Perfect.
So speaking of that, interrupting a little bit, how do the people find you? Here you are in this little obscure corner where you have to be sought out, and yet there's an endless line of people coming in.
We've had wonderful support from the community and from the visitors to the Big Island.
We're from West Virginia.
West Virginia, welcome. Thank you for being here. That's marvelous. We've literally had visitors from all over the world. It's been wonderful. Our attendance, it did start out kind of small, but it's steadily rising. Our numbers are...
Grab them for a second.
Excuse me, sir?
Yes.
Would you like to come and share where you're from and a little bit
here? Sure.
Talking about quilting. So your name is?
My name is Bill Kimmons. I'm from Charleston, West Virginia.
And you're with?
And I'm with my wife, Rebecca.
Hi,
Kimmons.
I'm Rebecca.
And...
Vicki Rosenstein. I'm here.
Excellent. And we're visiting Vicki and her husband, Alex. We flew out to San Francisco to marry our daughter there and then came out here for a couple of days and just luckily landed here.
So did you know about the Quilting Museum?
I did not know about it, but Vicki did. West Virginia has a huge quilting culture, and so these quilts are absolutely stunning. They knocked me out.
I love it. So it was all happenstance that y'all dropped in here.
It's just happenstance. We just happened to be here this weekend because my daughter got married last Saturday. And we were out on the West Coast. And if you're from West Virginia, take advantage of your location.
I love it. You got it. Well, thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you very much.
Right. And Vicki, you're a local girl?
I am now for about 2.5 years.
Cool. So you're the one that brought them here.
Well, they're just in time for the Kona Coffee Festival, and I was just looking at what there is to see. And I have never been in this museum either or in the quilting store. They're both fantastic. Really, they're just gorgeous.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Welcome.
Okay. So where were we? With the woman that came over with her quilt. Very distinctive, very powerful and dramatic, and yet, like you said, just one overlaid contrasting material. Yeah,
one symmetrical design that was cut out, and then the one that's in progress displays how it was laid out and basted down, and then it's a needle turn applique process where you turn under a little bit, stitch it down, turn under a little more, stitch it down, turn under a little more and stitch it down, and just keep going. Please enjoy the museum. We're just doing an interview here, but just go right ahead. These are local quilts, one of our local stitchers, and they feature the Big Island.
What's the woman's name that came here in 1895?
Rosa Rasmussen.
Okay. Talk to us a little bit about the process that Rosa utilized to make the pattern. So she'd take a sheet of fabric and fold it into eighths?
You start off with a square piece of fabric and big. This quilt is probably 80 inches by 80 inches. So the first thing you have to do is construct a piece of fabric that big. Fabric only comes 45 inches wide. So they would use a sewing machine probably to make a great big square of fabric. Then they fold that up into eighths on the diagonals and create a wedge, a triangle, an eighth.
You have it all folded up and you make this little pattern that's a repeat motif that unfolds. How do you know what you're going to get?
I don't know for sure, but I think in that case she was working from a published pattern or a pattern that was shared with her, so she would have known what it was going to look like. There are many people who create their own designs, and they usually cut on paper first.
To see how it's going to go.
Paper's a lot cheaper than fabric.
Have you done that style?
I have demonstrated it. I confess I have never completed a large Hawaiian quilt. But
it worked for you.
Yes, I've demonstrated the process of... I do speaking engagements occasionally about Hawaiian quilting, and I will do a demo of the process.
The Hawaiian quilts, this is a very warm climate. You don't need to stay warm unless you're at high altitude.
Exactly.
So the Hawaiian quilts are thinner, right? They don't have the batting.
That is true. It kind of depends. It's a personal choice for the quilter. Some people used, early days, they used cotton. Sometimes they used a wool blanket or whatever they had. It was kind of what was available. Cotton was very popular if they could get it. But yes, it's thin. You just need enough batting for the stitch definition. Obviously, it's not to stay warm. Their quilts are, in Hawaii, are art, and they look beautiful on the bed. You don't sleep with it. You pull it down or you set it aside, but because it's too warm, but it makes the bed look absolutely beautiful.
And again, another distinction is there isn't that dimensional thickness quality to it,
no.
Right?
They would definitely almost always be thinner.
Kind of a flat surface. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of the other ones, especially the ones you have displayed around us, are very dimensional, very three-dimensional.
We've got some beautiful art quilts right here. These were done by Val Brewer, one of our local quilters. This is, for example, is the Skyline in Kona.
So this is very intricate and very kind of freeform. In this case, there's a randomness to it. There's a freeform element.
Mm-hmm. And that's Val's particular style. Mm-hmm. She's what we call an art quilter, where she's truly just making a piece of art, a picture you would hang on the wall.
So it's something that she might sketch out with pencil or
yes.
something, and then
she starts with a design. Her background is an artist. Fabric is just her chosen media to work with.
So as she applies the materials to create that finished product, it's kind of freeform. It's kind
yes.
of as you go. Oh, this contrasting material would work great here.
Exactly. I mean, she certainly starts with a plan, a design, or at least an idea in her head, and then it just grows from there.
Tell us some more highlights about the museum.
Well, we have a Hawaiian flag quilt. Aloha.
She said to tell you I spent more it,
that's
than
perfect. Okay. Come right on in and enjoy.
Well, yeah, this is like Grand Central here.
It is. Mm-hmm. We have a Hawaiian flag quilt, one of the traditional quilts that was made as an important social and political statement for the Hawaiians after the overthrow of the Hawaiian monarchy. We have that. We have two beautiful traditional Hawaiian quilts that were made in the early 1900s, so they're over 100 years old now. They were both made here on the island. They're part of the permanent collection of the museum.
Interesting.
We do try and change out our exhibits. If you've come to see us once, please come again. At least quarterly, sometimes more frequently if there's a special exhibit, we change the exhibits out because there's so much to share. We can't obviously have it hanging all at the same time. And we do special events like quilt challenges and...
What's a quilt challenge? That's
great.
A quilt
challenge. For example, the one that we have hanging right now is the Kona Coffee Cultural Festival Quilt Challenge. So participants were given a set of instructions and they were told the theme of the quilt challenge, which is Kona Coffee. This particular, it was big and bold, was the theme of the Kona Coffee Festival.
And how long did they have to complete their work?
We put out the information in July, so that's what, 4 or 5 months?
So you got to stay focused to hit the
yes.
deadline.
Most of them get it into us within the last few days before the deadline, but anyway. And their challenge is to create a quilt that represents the theme. They have certain size parameters. It can't be any smaller than 100 inches perimeter. That's 100 linear inches all four
in
sides.
Each direction.
Mm-hmm. It can't be any larger than 240 inches. So that kind of gives them a guideline of what size to make it. And then from there, they go with their imagination and whatever they feel represents the theme and talks about Kona Coffee and the culture of Kona Coffee here on the island.
And who won and why?
Okay, our first place winner is right here. Her name is Catherine Nguyen. And there's her blue ribbon is hanging right there on her quilt. What she did was take T-shirts from the last 16 years of Kona Coffee Cultural Festival events, and she incorporated those T-shirts into a beautiful quilt. So she took first place. Second place was taken by one called Cups Galore, and it has coffee cups all the way around the edges and then absolutely exquisite quilting in the middle. the coffee pots with the feathers and hearts and steam coming off the coffee cups, and just a beautiful, beautiful piece. That we had a panel of judges that came in and judged, and they were using a rubric, a judging form, and then we averaged all the scores and everything. So it wasn't, you know, an arbitrary. It was done very methodically.
So quilting remains big time on the Big Island.
Absolutely. Quilting is alive and well here throughout the Hawaiian Islands. Every island has quilt shops. Although there are several museums here in the islands that have quilts in their collections, there was no museum that focused exclusively on the art and culture of Hawaiian quilting.
So this is it?
So this is it. We saw that as an omission. So
even on Oahu? Or?
Again, there's museums that have quilts in their collections, but there
but
is
not,
no quilt
yeah.
museum yeah. anywhere in the state.
I went to one of the motherships in Nebraska. You probably yes. know that one.
Oh, I do know that one. I've been there. Yes, the International Quilt Study Museum. That's an amazing place. So in 2016, we formed a nonprofit organization, the Kona Hawaiian Quilt Museum Society, with the purpose of creating a Hawaiian quilt museum. It took a while. We spent 2 years sourcing quilts, gathering funding, looking for a location. Finally, in July of 2018, we opened our doors, the Kona Hawaiian Quilt Museum and Gallery.
Cool. And so this, for now, is a permanent facility. It looks
yes,
like
it
you
is.
Might outgrow it before too
oh,
long.
Yeah. Yes, we already have. But we're excitedly looking forward to our next location and being able to grow.
So back in the day, women across the West, even in New England, would have what they call quilting bees, where they'd all get together.
Yes.
And that tradition continues, doesn't it?
Quilting has always been a social event, and that certainly does continue. These days, you're more likely to find what they call quilting guilds or quilting clubs. And there are groups that are men and women that are organized to promote the art of quilting in communities. Typically, they meet monthly, and they may or may not have a meeting where they're actually sitting around quilting. Sometimes it's a program with a speaker.
So you need a pretty big space to do some of those quilts, huh?
You know, quilting is done many different ways now. Everything from traditional hand quilting on frames, just like it's been done for centuries, all the way up to computerized machines where you load the quilt on, you tell the computer what size the quilt is, what design you want, you press start, make sure it has a lot of thread, walk away, come back 3 hours later and your quilt's done.
Wow.
So
and that's kind of a little cheating, isn't it?
It's an art form in itself. Quilt shows have now had to make the distinction between hand-quilted and machine-quilted because they're two very different processes. It's an art and unto itself, and it takes a lot of skill to use the machine to design. There's still a human being behind the machine that is designing the quilt and doing that.
Let's talk about the world of kids in quilting.
Yes. Here at the Kona Hawaiian Quilt Museum and Gallery, we have a special section just for kids. We call them keiki here in Hawaii. And we have activity sheets for the kids to do. We also have a scavenger hunt, which is really fun. It's just a little 10-question scavenger hunt, and they go around the museum and find answers and find the quilts that are in the scavenger hunt. And if they complete that, they even get a little prize if they bring it back up to us when it's done.
You have them learn the art of quilting itself.
We haven't progressed to stitching yet, but that's a really good idea. Some of that's in development. We also have other interactive things for our adult guests or older children. We have a sashiko stamp sampler back there that people are encouraged to take a few stitches on. We also have pattern tracing. Originally, patterns were not published. They were shared between friends, and the way that happened is your friend would invite you to trace one of the patterns. So on one of our interactive tables, we have an opportunity for you to trace a traditional Hawaiian quilt pattern. We like to have a few things that are hands-on and interactive. I think that's important. We're just very glad to be here in Kona and have a chance to share Hawaiian quilting with so many wonderful visitors from literally all over the world. We have our guest book there, and people have just literally from all parts of the globe have left us wonderful comments. And
Karen Berry with the Kona Hawaiian Quilt Museum and Gallery. in Kona, Kailua. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to meet you and pleasure to be able to share.
Mine too. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from the Big Island of Hawaii. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.